Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. I always like Badger Week because it gives me an excuse to call Brooks Bollinger and catch up with him, which I enjoy doing anytime and talking about just about anything with. But with COVID and everything else, I don't just run into him and see him as much as I used to. But, of course, he's the former great Wisconsin quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, had a high school coach at Hill Murray in Creighton, coached out of Pitt for a while, and now has got his own financial business to do it quite well as well. Brooks, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Maxie. It's great to be with you.
How's your financial business? How do you like that game? And is there any parallels, and can you draw from your football playing career?
Yeah, I love where I'm at now with Bell Bank. And, I think there's a ton of parallels. It's just, you know, working with great people and being able to solve problems and devise plans. And, I think anything we do in this world, it comes down to being able to work with great people. And I get to do that every day, so... You know, you don't have game day quite as, you know, you don't have those.
And there ain't nothing like game day, right?
Yep. So that part's a little bit different. You have to manufacture a little bit, but I think for the long-term satisfaction and the day-to-day, it's really rewarding and get to connect with a ton of great people. So I'm having fun.
You know, I watch Mertz play for Wisconsin, and obviously he's had kind of this up-and-down start to his career, and you know he came in with high expectations and everything else. And as you watch him, you know he started again. Was it Indiana last year? He threw five or six touchdown passes his first game, or something like that, or against Illinois. I can't remember, but anyway, you know the story. And he's been okay, and you know maybe now a little bit better because they've got a running back that can go. But as I watch him, I think I wonder. You know, you went through the same thing because you played at a young age at Wisconsin as well. What makes that position so hard in the Big Ten to be good at?
Well, I think it's just hard to sustain over time, and certainly quarterback is so reliant on a ton of things, right? It's a team game. It's the ultimate team game. So you got, you know, the line and the play call and the receivers and the running backs, and so it's different every time. But I thought, you know, you kind of teed it up, and I did an interview last year when, I mean, first of all, Graham's a highly most way different than I was, right? He was one of the most highly recruited quarterbacks in the country.
Yeah,
that went to Wisconsin, highly touted, had all the attention coming in, and he goes out in his first couple of games and just lights the world on fire. And I kind of watched that happen, and you know, for me, it was a different story, but, you know, my first start went to Ohio State, won 42-17 at the Horseshoe, won 9 straight games, including the Rose Bowl. Huh. I think I was thinking about it after I did that interview. I think I, as a starting quarterback, we won my first 14 or 15 games.
Holy
right?
cow.
And so over the course of kind of a season and a half, and you know, I was telling him, and I could just watch it happen with him. It's you know, I think when you have that much success and you get that much attention, it's hard not to just hold on to it, right, and try and protect the perception of what you are. And the reality is especially playing that position, I don't care, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, you have to learn to play that position with scars if you're going to do it a long time. Right, like nobody is going to be unscathed.
Yep,
and I think he's you know, I finally actually just met Graham last weekend. And my two older boys and my dad, we went down to the Nebraska game, which was awesome. And I got to say hi to Graham finally. It was the first time I had met him with all this COVID stuff. And we just talked briefly. But, you know, I think that's the – I really like where he's at right now. I think he's had to go through that.
Because of the scars, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, he went to the top of the mountain, you know, right away, right? And it all became about how great he was going to be and all the
And hadn't had a lot of adversity in high school, basically, because he'd been so good, right?
Yeah, I mean, most don't, right, at that level, you know? And so it's – and, you know, see, you see some guys go to the NFL and never have faced that adversity, right, that have that kind of run. So I think it had to hit him in the mouth. And then, I mean, especially with the way the season started, right, you had the whole year to talk about the Notre Dame game and open up with Penn State. And so there's nowhere to hide, right? There was no way to kind of feel your way through it. You had to go face the, you know, fight for the belt week one and week two and week three. And so, you know, ultimately I think it was probably really hard for him. And I also think there's multiple things going on with the team, but you know, I think for him, like I kind of watch him now from afar, and I don't know all the details, but it seems like, you know, now it's kind of like, all right, going back to the basics, go back to the fundamentals, rebuild this thing. And he really seems to be building some true confidence. And I think what he's earned through that process, because, you know, shoot, that's hard, man, right? When the whole world's looking at you and you've been crowned king.
Yep, and you feel that too, by the way. And then you go out and you trademark yourself on the NIL deal, and you know, and that's kind of a statement that says, I think I'm going to be doing something here, I'm going to make some money, you know?
Yeah, he didn't help himself there, right?
No.
I don't know all that stuff, but yeah, I mean, he did all that, and you're kind of going, oh boy. And then, you know, you're standing on Soldier Field playing Notre Dame with one of the most hyped games in the country.
Yep.
And you want to crawl under the carpet, you know, because you're having trouble completing the pass, and it's hard, right? And you got to just play your way through it. And I do think he's done that, and I think that, you know, even though it wasn't pretty and it wasn't fun, I think that helps earn some respect in that locker room that he comes out the other side, and you know, he just kept showing up, so I'm hopeful, right, for him, not only for him, but for where the team's at. And it's just, you know, having been there, it's as much as everybody can say, oh, you know, yeah, I'd love to have his problems or whatever. Like, it's hard to be standing in that spot. You know, it's a lonely place to be when it goes from that good to that bad that fast.
Brooks Bollinger is our guest, and he was that guy at the back. Now, is it as simple as meet Braylon Allen? I mean, does that change a quarterback overnight when all of a sudden you go, hey, this 17-year-old kid might be the second or third best running back in the Big Ten right now?
It certainly helps, right? And this is what I say. It's football is a complex organism, right? So there's a lot of things going on with just comfort level with the scheme and who's healthy and you know, where the line's at. But there's no question that, I mean, for a few weeks there, Maxie, they couldn't run the ball, right?
Right. Like, I mean, you just couldn't believe it. And I thought, have they decided they don't want to be Wisconsin anymore? But we found out that wasn't it, right?
Yeah, I mean, you start checking if the sky's still blue and the grass is still
exactly
green. You know? I mean, that's there's something off with the equilibrium when Wisconsin's not running the football well. And So I think it was a combination of things, and I think they all feed off each other, right? When nothing's working, nothing's working, and so I think that certainly helped. And then it's just a matter of keep showing up, protect the football, do the right things. You know that defense has played great, and you can rely on that. So I think it's a combination of things, but you know, Allen is. I mean, he's a specimen. It's pretty fun to stand next to him, and it's kind of hard to wrap your head around, right? This kid's 17 years old.
Yeah. And you said, can you stand with us for a quick break?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, because when we come back, I want to ask you about that, and also about, you know, we know what the axe means to Minnesota because they've had it so seldom. Does it mean anything to Wisconsin? Do they even bring it with on the road trip? I don't know. I'll ask Brooks that when we come back. Stay with us. Brooks Bollinger was a star quarterback for the Badgers, played for the Vikings, coached a lot college, high school football, and this is the week of the axe. Now Brooks, there's the old saying, it's only a rivalry if both teams win X amount of games, and the truth is Wisconsin has dominated this rivalry. Give us some Wisconsin perspective on this. Does this ring as a huge rivalry game to them, or is Iowa a bigger rival for Wisconsin? Or how does this play out? How does it play out in Madison?
Well, it was always a huge deal for us, and it still is. And it was always, mostly a dogfight. But every week, at the time, Jim Huber was our offensive line coach, and Hubes. And
yeah, he went on to coach the Vikings, yeah.
Yeah, and it was at Minnesota with Holtz back in the day, and he knew the history. And Hubes, every Wednesday or Tuesday or whatever it was at the time, he would every year would give the history of, starting back with the slab of bacon and evolution and Pug Lund cutting his finger off. We appreciated it, and it was a really, really big rivalry for us. And obviously it's been this stretch. And when I first came into Wisconsin, we hadn't beat Iowa in 17 years. I think when I was on my visit, they finally beat Iowa for the first time in 17 years. So it's, it wasn't too long before, right? It was kind of funny for me moving back here. And I don't really think much about it because, it was never that lopsided previously, right?
Yeah.
And as time goes on, people are kind of looking at me like, we're the king of the hill and winning all the time. And,
right.
Kind of giving me that Minnesota nice, don't really like you.
Passive-aggressive crap, yeah.
Yeah, no, but I never looked at it that way.
Yeah.
Because if you really know the history of Wisconsin, right, there's a long stretch before that, we weren't so successful. And I was kind of on the heels of that. Right. So just grateful to have the success and whatever and keep it going. And now it's just kind of been a long stretch. So, knowing the guys that are back there today, it's still a huge rivalry. It's one of the greatest traditions in college football. And it's a big deal to keep that axe, there. So, and then, we look at, but it works out of both sides, right? We'd kind of look at Michigan like it was a rivalry, but
sure.
Not sure.
Yeah, they might not have then, but they did over the years for sure.
Yeah, and it ebbs and flows, right? So I think, and with some of this conference realignment, and you see it a little bit, right? I grew up in North Dakota, right? So the
yep.
UND-NDSU rivalry.
Yep.
I believe that regional rivalries are what made college sports what they are today.
Absolutely, right? Especially football.
Yep, and we've lost a little bit of it, when the Big Ten expands and some of these things happen. And I just think it's so important to hold on and to celebrate those regional rivalries because that's ultimately, what makes it great and what makes it a ton of fun, right? I love being here. I love living here. Got a bunch of Wisconsin buddies, got a bunch of Gopher buddies.
Sure.
It's just fun to have that. We saw it last week with the Vikings and the Packers, right?
Gosh, was that fun. And you got Matt Shelton, and he's both, right? Badger ties, Gopher ties, the whole bit.
Yeah.
Now he's at the Denver Broncos. Now, what was it like for as a quarterback? The quarterbacks can get handled differently, and every coach has a different philosophy as to how to handle a quarterback. What was Barry Alvarez like with the quarterback position?
I was probably, it was interesting for me because, I grew up an offensive coordinator's kid, right? So I was always a quarterback, and I never really played anything else, and I always kind of played up a grade and never thought about playing. And then my freshman year, I go to play for Mike Berg, who's a legendary football coach, old school, Grand Forks Central, and I'll never forget my first team meeting. He said, you're not a quarterback, you're not a running back, you're not a safety, you're a Grand Forks Central football player. That's what you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll do whatever's asked of this team.
Yep.
And I went, oh, God, I got to learn how to tackle. Because,
yeah, what does that mean?
Not,
does that mean I'm a strong safety now, or what is that? I'm a receiver or what? Yeah.
I can't do anything else. But that was beat into my head And really, Barry was no different. You know, I think he would say, you know, the quarterback's got to be the toughest guy to come down the pike, you know, is what he would say. And he meant you had to be physically tough, but you had to be mentally tough. And he understood, you know, he wasn't these defensive guys. Some of these defensive coaches, they, you know, kind of call the quarterbacks prima donnas.
Oh, yeah, they need to be treated
different. Yep. I think Barry had a good balance of going like, hey, you got to be one of the guys, which I didn't have a problem with, right? But you got to be one of the guys. You got to be tough. You got to be whatever. But he also knew there's a different set of circumstances for the quarterback, right? I mean, it's a different animal.
Mm-hmm. I heard Bill Parcells say once, it's okay for the quarterback to be funny, but he better not be the class clown.
Right. That's a good point. What? You know, it's just different, right? I mean, the 80-year-old grandmother in the 50th row, everybody in the building knows when the quarterback screws up.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and I think if you do it the right way, all the guys know that too. But it's hard to compare it exactly to other positions. But I think when you try and start treating it as if it's its own entity, you get into trouble too. So it's just, like most things, I think it's a balance of you're one of the guys, you got to be treated like the team. But Herm Edwards used to say all the time, he said everybody's gonna get treated fairly, but everybody's not gonna get treated the same,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's there are some slightly different rules I think that quarterbacks need just to survive.
Okay, so you know, I was out watching the semifinals last week of this, you know, the Prep Bowl and all that goes with it. And I'm seeing quarterbacks that are athletic, got a good arm. In general, in high school, probably the norm, you know, they're going to throw to a designated receiver. You know, they're not going to be a lot of progressions and reads and checkdowns because, you know, but they've got good arms and they've got decent feet. And I'm watching this going, okay, so I can see that they've got a strong arm and I can see they've got pretty good feet. How on earth do you know if they're a Division I, Division II? How do you begin to ascertain whether or not they have whatever it is, if they've got the arm and the feet, to play at the next level? What would be the first thing you would look for once that's been established?
Well, that's a great question, and it's not easy. And it's not even easy at the pro level, by the way, right? We watch people that get paid a lot of money to make these picks, and
yeah,
it's very difficult. And so when they're 17, 16 years old, you're trying to evaluate it, it's a tough thing. To me, the number one thing that you got to get to first is he a leader? Is he a tough guy? Does he have that it factor, right? Like, I always like guys like, hey, is he the point guard on the basketball team? Is he the shortstop in baseball?
Yep. And does he look like he's having fun when he's out there playing and everybody's kind of looking at him when he raises him up, huh?
Yeah, I mean, because if you don't have that, you can't teach that, right? And then you get into, you know, arm talent and what they can do physically. But, you know, the thing is, it's as much of an art as it is a science.
Exactly.
Right? And you see guys do it a lot of different ways, right? There's really successful players that aren't very mobile and, you know, make up for it in other ways. There's a lot of different ways to play the position. I mean, you look at a guy like Phillip Rivers, right?
Yep.
Throws it kind of funky.
Yep.
Not really mobile at all.
Nope, but it works.
He has as much competitive greatness as probably anybody that's ever played, right? He's a competitor. He's a coach's kid. He's smart. So it's, but I think the non-negotiable is, you know, can they garner the respect of the guys in that hall,
mm-hmm.
right? And can they be that leader and have those kind of intangible things that and then you get to the other stuff. Now, the hard thing, Mike, is the first thing you get is the film.
Right.
And then you get to go watch them throw either at camp or in, you know, in the spring at their high school.
Yep.
And then you get to meet them and spend time with them.
Yep.
So the hard thing is, you kind of get it backwards where you're trying to watch, you're trying to evaluate them off of film, and then you got to back into it. And meanwhile, the world's moving really fast, and they're getting offers from all over the place. So
Sure.
That whole evaluation game, well, it's part of the reason I'm a banker now. You know what I mean?
well, you worked with Paul Crist. I mean, and that's, you know, I mean, that's, you were a Pitt with him, and I know you've seen all sides of it, the college side as well. Now, like when you look at, you know, Wisconsin likes to stop the run, Nebraska scored some points on them. Just football standpoint, can Minnesota run the football on this defense on Saturday?
Well,
packages and everything, and.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had the clicker in my hand watching enough film, but I've watched enough of the Gophers this year that I think they can run the ball on anybody. I mean, they can.
The question is, can they get the lead and then run the ball, huh?
Well, I mean, I just think I think it's going to be a good football game, right? I think it's Big Ten football.
Yep.
You know, I think you're going to have two teams that can run the football. This reminds me of, you know, kind of our old Iowa. You know, when we play Iowa, and Iowa's still doing the same stuff on defense that they did when I was there, right?
Yep.
And it's, we know what you're going to do. We know that you know that we know what you're going to do.
Yep.
And let's go. And so then, that's what Big Ten football was. And then it's going to come down to a few plays. And then if the momentum swings, and somebody gets up a score or two, then the whole game flips. So
yeah, I mean, 2 years ago, Wisconsin came out and they threw a lateral off the kickoff and changed the whole game. Boom.
Yep, and you know that game up here 2 years ago, right? You know, there's a couple turning points.
Yeah.
But it's funny. It's like. You know, when you're on this side of it, as I would say this side being, you know, a Gopher fan and in this market and whatever, and you haven't won in so long, it's really easy to go like, oh, you know, we're not going to win or they're going to find a way. And that seeps into the kids too, right? Because you just haven't had it. But, you know, I don't know. Shoot, anything can happen and teams get hot. But, you know, looking at it for me, what I've seen this year, I just think it's going to be a really good football game. A couple of teams that can play physical, good football, and then, you know, we'll find out who makes the plays in crunch time.
Well, it's going to be. Hey, Brooks, always good to visit with you. I hope we can do it in person here one day soon.
Looking forward to it, Mike. It's been too long.
You bet. Brooks Bollinger, nice enough to join us, former Wisconsin star.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.